Dave Emery here. This is Side One, For the Record, program number 775, titled Ratzinger Leaves the Ship, the Resignation of Pope Benedict the 16th. This program is being recorded on February 14th of the year 2014. It is 2-14-14, and happy Valentine's Day for those who are listening live, okay? Over the years, we have done a lot of programming about the link between the Vatican and fascism, and we've also done a great deal of programming about the many layers of intrigue surrounding the Vatican Bank, the Propaganda Douay Lodge, the very suspicious deaths of both Roberto Calvi and before him, Michele Sindona, who were the chief secular advisors to the Vatican Bank. And we are going to be examining the circumstances under which Pope Benedict the 16th became the first pope in history to resign. He just basically decided to check out, and he checked out via resignation, as opposed to the way that Michele Sindona and Roberto Calvi checked out as well. In For the Record, program 508, we dealt with the background of Pope Benedict, nay, Joseph Ratzinger. He served in the Hitler Youth and had earned the nickname in the Vatican of Der Panzerkardinal because of his very rigid and reactionary and willful stance within the Vatican. In For the Record 508, we took a look at the role of a fellow named Cardinal Josef Frings, who had helped Nazi war criminals in Germany after World War II, and also Pope Paul VI, originally Cardinal Giovanni Battista Montini, who was head of the Vatican's, basically Vatican Secretary of State, and was instrumental in forming the Ratline, the Vatican networks, through which many Nazi war criminals were able to successfully escape Europe, many go into Latin America, some go into the U.S., and into the service of U.S. intelligence via the Galen Organization. And For the Record programs, not For the Record, but AFA, formerly RFA programs, 17 through 21, totaling some 25 hours real time. We went into it great length and in rigorous detail, the history of the Vatican's involvement with fascism, the development of the P2 Lodge under Grand Master Licio Gelli, himself an Oberleutnant in the Hermann Göring Division, an elite German Wehrmacht division during World War II. Gelli also was a prominent follower of Mussolini, and the P2 Lodge served as something of a crypto-fascist government and basically pretty much ran Italy in the post-war period. And among other people, Silvio Berlusconi was a member of the P2 Lodge. So, by the way, were the aforementioned Roberto Calvi, about whom we're going to have more to say in this program, and also Michele Sindona, both P2 members, both Vatican financial advisors, and both died under very, very strange circumstances. Calvi was murdered, although they could not allegedly prove beyond a doubt that some of the mafia figures involved had killed him. There have been a great many scandals, many of them overlapping, that have overtaken the Vatican, the Holy See, in recent years, and we are going to examine some of those. We're going to examine some of the curious actions of Pope Benedict XVI, nay, Joseph Ratzinger, in connection with his exit. Again, this was the very first pope in history to resign. And we're going to take a look at some of the scandals and curious aspects of his behavior. We're going to take a look at the fact that, according to some people, some knowledgeable individuals, the late Roberto Calvi was allegedly involved with Pablo Escobar, the kingpin of the Medellin cartel, the Colombia cocaine cartel, that, among other things, was channeling money to propping up the Contra guerrillas in Nicaragua. And the Medellin cartel, to veteran listeners, of course, was a key element in the Iran-Contra imbroglio. Interestingly enough, whether or not Calvi's alleged involvement with Pablo Escobar had anything to do with it, just before his resignation, just before he left office, the Pope assigned a key Vatican official who had been the liaison to MONEYVAL, that was the European body that was monitoring and guarding against money laundering. He assigned Mr. Ballestrero, Ballestrero, to, of all places, Colombia. Now, whether that had anything to do with the alleged involvement of Roberto Calvi with Pablo Escobar of the Medellin cartel is, as I like to say, food for thought and grounds for further research. In resigning, just before he left, Benedict XVI appointed a guy named Ernst von Freiberg to head up the Vatican Bank. Now, Ernst von Freiberg, obviously a German, was a German member of the Knights of Malta, the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, or in its formal title, L'Ordre Sauvien et Militaire des Chevaliers de Saint-Jean de Jérusalem. And the Knights of Malta, as we looked at in, among other programs, for the record, 610, is basically the military wing of the church. Among the recipients of its highest award was Reinhard Gehlen, the Nazi spy chief about whom we've spoken so much. People like William F. Buckley, Alexander Haig, William Casey, many key players of the Reagan administration, many key players in U.S. intelligence were members of the Knights of Malta. So is Ernst von Freiberg. Von Freiberg was also head of the board of directors of Blohm and Voss, B-L-O-H-M and Voss, V-O-S-S, as in Sam. That is a major German shipbuilder. It makes warships for the German Navy and did so under Adolf Hitler as well. We're going to look at that. Interestingly enough, Blohm and Voss was also for many years a wholly owned subsidiary property of ThyssenKrupp Marine Division. ThyssenKrupp, the largest heavy industrial firm in Europe, evolved not only from the famous Krupp arms manufacturers of Prussia and then Germany, but also from Thyssen AG, the major German steel maker, originally Vereinigte Stahlwerke. Thyssen AG was not only is not only a major company of the Bormann Capital Network. Now ThyssenKrupp is a major element of that network, but Thyssen AG was also deeply involved with the Bush family. Fritz Thyssen was a partner of George Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush Sr., the grandfather and great-grandfather of George W. Bush, and the father and grandfather of George H.W. Bush as well. We're also going to take a look at an alleged velvet mafia. There are very credible reports that there was something of a gay hierarchy within the Vatican, obviously in contravention or contradiction of official Vatican policy, and the allegations surfaced that this gay mafia, this velvet mafia, was also subject to blackmail because of their sexual preference. And there are also allegations that that in turn involves some shenanigans involving the Vatican Bank. We're going to take a look, too, at the fact that Benedict XVI is going to remain a resident of Vatican City. He will hold the title of Pope Emeritus, and he will continue to live in Vatican City, and because of that, will have immunity from prosecution or extradition, perhaps even from subpoenas in connection with any inquiries into some of the shenanigans that were going on in the Vatican. One of the most interesting things that we are going to look at, and something that is altogether speculative, really would fall into the category of a conspiracy theory within a conspiracy theory, and that concerns the possible, again I say possible, links between Ratzinger's resignation or Benedict's resignation and the Newtown School massacre, or the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut by Adam Lanza. Adam Lanza was a very disturbed fellow who shot up the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. That obviously drew enormous press coverage. What did not get much press coverage, though, was that Adam Lanza had been at a Catholic school and at a Catholic congregation that had serial pedophile priests who were apparently protected by the church hierarchy. Adam Lanza himself appears to have had a preoccupation with pedophilia and with sexual relationships between young boys and mature adults. Before he became Pope, Josef Ratzinger was in charge of the Vatican division that was supposed to be sort of keeping things in order, I guess you could say, and that he was in charge of seeing to it that delinquent priests, including pedophile priests, were appropriately dealt with, and he was the focal point of a great deal of controversy after he became Pope. Many victims and relatives of victims who had been molested by priests maintained that Ratzinger, now Benedict, did not do nearly enough to right the ship, so to speak. Adam Lanza shot up the Sandy Hook Elementary School in mid-December of 2012. Benedict Ney Ratzinger became the first pope in history to resign about 2 months later. And again, this is sort of a conspiracy theory within the conspiracy. One of the questions we are asking is whether perhaps the Newtown shooting massacre, if in fact Adam Lanza, as a blog has theorized, was one of the victims of the serial pedophile priests at the Catholic school and at the Catholic congregation at which he had been, that might have contributed to his psychopathology, which in turn appears to have led to his actions at the Sandy Hook Elementary School. If, in fact, Adam Lanza was a victim of these pedophile priests, and perhaps even after that was involved with pedophilia in connection with organized crime and blackmail, perhaps even some forms of mind control, because pedophilia, sexual molestation and violation can be used to develop certain kinds of mind control. Whether or not Adam Lanza's possible molestation by some of these priests and the protection of those priests by the Catholic Church, whether that had something to do with Benedict's resignation, is, again, as I like to say, food for thought and grounds for further research. Whatever the case may be, certainly there were a number of avenues of scandal coming to light during the course, at the very time that Benedict left office. So we're going to plunge right in about Benedict's resignation. The New York Times of February 11th of 2013 has an article by Laurie Goodstein. It's titled, A Turbulent Tenure for a Quiet Scholar. And it reads in part, when Benedict XVI became Pope 8 years ago at the age of 78, many Roman Catholic scholars predicted that he would be a caretaker. He would keep the ship sailing in the same direction as his beloved predecessor, John Paul II. And, as the rare theologian who knew how to write for a broad audience, Benedict would keep the crew inspired and the sails billowing. I would interject at this point, I suspect that, in fact, Ratzinger was indeed intended to be a caretaker, but not to keep the ship sailing smoothly, but to see to it that all of the rats that were lurking in the hold did not spill out and upset people. Again, as discussed in For the Record program number 508, Ratzinger himself had been in the Hitler Youth and had served in a Wehrmacht anti-aircraft unit near the end of the war. He was known as one of the, he was one of what were known as the Flakhelfer, F-L-A-K-H-E-L-F-E-R. Hitler Youth who served in the Wehrmacht and many of whom who had been tabbed as future leaders of the underground Reich. And many of them did indeed go on to become very prominent in post-war German society. Again, For the Record, 508, Der Panzer Kardinal. More here from the Laurie Goodstein article about the Pope's resignation, skipping down. But when it came to the major challenges facing the Church in the real world, Benedict often appeared to Karen from one crisis to the next. He inadvertently insulted Muslims on an early trip to Germany, which resulted in riots across the Islamic world, and the murder of an Italian nun in Somalia. He welcomed back a breakaway bishop who had just recorded an interview denying the facts of the Holocaust. He told reporters on the papal plane winging toward Africa that condoms had helped spread AIDS. When the clerical sexual abuse scandal spread across Europe and exploded at Benedict's door in 2010, Benedict met with abuse survivors and oversaw the development of new church policies to prevent abuse. But he was denounced by survivors and their advocates for never moving to discipline bishops who were caught in the cover-up. And again, we're going to ruminate about that and about possible connections between the timing of the Pope's resignation and the possible molestation of Adam Lanza by serial pedophile priests at his school and in his church, pedophile priests who had apparently been protected by the Vatican Church hierarchy. Now, of the alleged link between Vatican financial advisor Roberto Calvi of the P2 Lodge and Pablo Escobar of the Medellin cartel, which, again, recall, was involved, was one of the elements in the Iran-Contra scandal. We read the following. This is from The Telegraph in the United Kingdom, The Telegraph of November 26, 2012. It's by Nick Squires, and it is headlined, God's Banker Linked to Pablo Escobar, again by Nick Squires from The Telegraph, 11/26/2012. It reads in part, Roberto Calvi, who earned his nickname for his close ties to the Vatican Bank, was found hanged beneath Blackfriars Bridge in London amid strong suspicions that he was murdered. Aida Suarez Levy, L-E-V as in Victor Y, the widow of a Bolivian drug lord, claims that Calvi was laundering drug cartel money through an account in Nassau in the Bahamas on behalf of South American drug lords. The Cocaine King sheds new light on Calvi's death, that's a book, which remains one of the Vatican's darkest chapters and most contested mysteries. Mrs. Levy, the widow of Roberto Suarez Gomez, claimed in an interview on Italian television on Monday that Mr. Calvi was her husband's, quote, Italian contact, unquote. He said he could vouch for us, unquote, she told Italy's Channel 7 television. Again, quoting, he said by vouching for us at such a high level, business would go well for us. I imagine he was talking about cocaine. He was not explicit, but I imagine this is what it was all about. Ms. Levy recounted an encounter involving her husband and Gunter Sachs, a multimillionaire German playboy who was the third husband of Brigitte Bardot. She said that 6 months before Calvi's death, she and her husband met Mr. Sachs, again S-A-C-H-S, on a trip to Switzerland, and that they discussed the Italian banker while in Switzerland. Mr. Sachs, who committed suicide in his Swiss chalet last year at the age of 78, reportedly told the Bolivian drug baron, quote, Calvi is very scared because Pablo Escobar wants his money back from the bank in Nassau, unquote. The Bahamas bank that he was referring to was an affiliate of Banco Ambrosiano, which was Italy's biggest private bank when it collapsed in 1982. It was headed by Mr. Calvi, who had close ties to the Vatican's bank, formerly known as the Instituto per l'Opere di Religione, the Institute for Religious Works. Recall that in AFA program number 18, done in May of 1986, we discussed, among other things, Michele Sindona's allegation that the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano, by the way, whose loans had been guaranteed by the Vatican Bank, that Banco Ambrosiano had been making loans that were used to fight communism in Latin America. That, if true, would be consistent with the use of Medellin and other Latin American drug syndicates' funds through the Banco Ambrosiano. The Medellin cartel, among others, was involved with the Iran-Contra affair, and profits from the cocaine trade were indeed used to help to finance the Contra guerrillas in Nicaragua. I would note that following the collapse of the Banco Ambrosiano, then Pope John Paul II appointed Hermann Abs, the chairman emeritus of the Deutsche Bank, Germany's most important banker during and after World War II, to help straighten out the Vatican finances. We will keep that in mind when we talk about the appointment of Ernst von Freiburg to head up the Vatican Bank a little bit later in the program. Now, whether or not the allegations about Calvi and Pablo Escobar and the Medellin cartel are true, and I think they warrant serious consideration, it is certainly interesting and perhaps very, very significant indeed that, again, shortly before he resigned office, Benedict named a top official in the Secretariat of State, Monsignor Ettore Ballestrero, E-T-T-O-R-E-B-A-L-E-S-T-R-E-R-O, to Colombia. And as we're going to see, Ballestrero was a fellow who was the Vatican representative to MONUSCO. MONUSCO was the top European Union body in charge with guarding against money laundering, and the Vatican Bank has been hit with many charges of money laundering even since the Banco Ambrosiano scandal. This article is from USA Today of February 22nd of 2013. It's by Doug Stanglin, S-T-A-N-G-L-I-N. It's titled, Report, Pope Resigned in Wake of Gay Priest Scandal, and we'll talk about that later. What we want to talk about here is the following. And on Friday, skipping down, and on Friday, the Vatican announced that Benedict had transferred a top official in the Secretariat of State, Monsignor Ettore Ballastrero, to Colombia in Latin America, an appointment that came amid swirling media speculation about the contents of a confidential report into the Vatican's leaks scandal. Italian newspapers have been rife for days with unsourced reports about the contents of the secret dossier that three cardinals prepared for Pope Benedict after investigating the origins of the leaks. The scandal erupted last year after papers taken from the Pope's desk were published in the blockbuster book. The Pope's butler was convicted in October of aggravated theft and later pardoned. Again, skipping down in this article. Ballastrero was head of the Holy See's delegation to the Council of Europe's Money Vow Committee, that's M-O-N-E-Y-V-A-L, which evaluated the Vatican's anti-money laundering and anti-terror financing measures. He has had a hand in the efforts by the Vatican Bank to be more transparent and is close to Benedict's number two, the Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone, B-E-R-T-O-N-E, skipping down. The Vatican submitted itself to MoneyVal's evaluation in a bid to improve its reputation in the financial world. The Vatican passed the test on the first try in August, and MoneyVal said it had made great progress in a short amount of time. But the Holy See received poor or failing grades for its financial watchdog agency and its bank, long the source of some of the Vatican's more storied scandals. By the way, just as John Paul II appointed the top Nazi banker to oversee the, quote, straightening out of Vatican finances in the wake of the collapse of the Ambrosiano. We're going to take a look at the appointment of not only a German Knight of Malta and a member of the German aristocracy, but a key member, but a fellow who headed up Blohm and Voss, a major munitions maker, a shipbuilder for Hitler and for the post-war German Navy, and also an individual, a company, I should say, that was a wholly owned subsidiary of ThyssenKrupp Marine Division. That, among other things, will be the focal point of discussion in Side 2. I've made reference to other For the Record shows, such as For the Record 508, and the massive anti-fascist archive shows, formerly RFA, now AFA, simply a retitling. All of those and my entire life's work and the tremendous body of supplemental information by others, including some old anti-fascist books, are available on the SpitfireList.com website. There's also a flash drive that can be obtained by a modest contribution to the stations, if you listen to this on the radio, to the station that carries the program. SpitfireList.com is the website. There are long, article-length, written, annotated descriptions of the For the Record shows in the SpitfireList.com website. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 775. Ratzinger leaves the ship, the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI. This has been recorded on February 14th of the year 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.